Good evening. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll continue our look at this great chapter of faith as we look at verses 5 and 6 tonight. You know, we've seen to this point what faith is. We've seen that by faith we believe that God created everything out of what is not seen. We believe that. We do not have to see it. We believe it by faith. We looked at last week the faith of Abel that prompted him to worship in the manner in which God desired for him to worship. And as a result of his doing that by faith, Abel was accepted by God, where Cain was not. Well, in verse 5, we see another one of the antediluvian characters that are listed in this particular text. When it says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. You know, we do not know much about Enoch. If I ask people to say, what do you know about Enoch? They're going, he didn't die. And you know, you've just about got it. there's not a lot left after you get past the fact that he didn't die. We don't know much about him. His name is listed a number of times. But when it is listed those number of times in the Bible, most of the times it's connected with a genealogy of some sort. And so it's not really about his life. It's just a listing of his having been born and lived. But there's very little story about him. He is one of the most short-lived of the patriarchs. Whenever those men were living 900 years, you know, God took him in just a little over 300 and translated him up. You know, he is mentioned in the New Testament. He is mentioned in Hebrews. And he's also mentioned as well in the book of Jude, where Jude talks about him prophesying, where we see that he's a prophet. We won't spend much time there. I mean, certainly he's prophesying, or he is living at a time about 1,000 years before the flood would take place. His son is somebody that we also know very well. We pretty much only know one fact about him, and that's Methuselah. And, you know, we believe that Methuselah either died in the month before the flood happened, or he died during the flood, one of the two. But his son would live to see the year, at least, of the flood. We look back at Genesis chapter 5, and the story that's recorded for us, or what's recorded about Enoch there, it says that Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years before, after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, all I've got to look to do is walk with God for 100 years at most, right? Maybe. If I'm very lucky, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, 70, and if you live any past that, you're pretty blessed. And so, you know, I just got to look to live for God and walk with God and deal with the difficulties of this world for just maybe 100 years. You know, he walks with God for 300 years, the Bible says. You know, three times that. And when you look at other people, such as Noah or other men that we see that are faithful in this time frame, we see that they're walking with God for dealing with this world for 900 plus years. You know, so what God is asking me to do, I'm pretty thankful that I have a pretty short lifespan. And, you know, I can get done with this old earth in a pretty short period of time and go on to something better, right? And, you know, I think if we kind of look at life like that, it might improve our outlook at least a little bit. But as we think about Enoch, I want us to consider three things. First, we see that Enoch walked with God. And we see that in Genesis 5, 22 and 24. You know, walking with God equals what by faith. It is walking with God in what God wants. It's walking with in hand with God in purpose, hand in hand with God as far as what truth is and what His will is. You know, it is that we are walking, when we're walking with God, we're walking because of that faith that we have. Our walk, when we think about that, is the manner in which we live. We either walk with God or we're walking away from God. But, you know, there's no other choice. And we certainly do not want to find ourselves walking away from God. So we want to figure out, we want to know how to walk with God. Walking or living by faith is living lives that trust who God is. And not only do we trust who God is and acknowledge who God is and what He has said, but that we trust that and we obey it. That I understand that God is God and I am not. I understand that God is God and what He says is best. That I understand and I trust that everything that God tells me to do, I need to do. That it is best for me. Because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, according to James. And so if I want anything good in my life, it's going to be hand in hand with God. It's going to be walking with Him. You know, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, we see other men that walked with God. We see that Noah was righteous and blameless, it says, and he walked with God. We go a little further in Micah chapter 6 and verse 7. It says that He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. You know, Micah says, hey, you guys want to know what to do? I'm going to tell you. Do justice. Be just with people. Love kindness. And humbly walk with God. That's what we need to do. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6. God commands that the priests are to walk with Him. You know, the problem in Malachi, in a lot of parts of Malachi, is dealing with the aberration of sacrifices. Either the people weren't giving as they should, and the priests weren't making them give as they should. He says, you need to walk with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says that we are called to walk in a manner worthy of God, of the God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Colossians tells us to walk in a manner worthy of Christ. Now that's a tough question for us, isn't it? Think about my life, and you know, when we take the Lord's Supper, that's really what we need to think about. Am I, you know, I'm concentrating on that sacrifice, this do in remembrance of me. I'm to be remembering Christ, but I am remembering Christ and putting my life up to His, the one I want to be like. And am I walking worthy? Am I living in such a way that I am living in a manner that is worthy of what He did for me? What if you did something that injured you terribly to save someone else, and then they just wasted their life being a drunkard, and you spent your life disabled so that that person could be a drunkard? You know, Jesus Christ died for you. What are you doing with that? He died that you might live. What are you doing with that? I think of the movie Saving Private Ryan when the colonel says he better invent the better light bulb or something if we're going to give our lives to save it. You know what I mean? If Christ is going to die for us, we need to do something worthy of that. Live worthy of that. Walk worthy of that. Clear statements about this walk of life are in the book of 1 John. In verses 6 through 7 of chapter 1, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us of sin. So see, we have here, John provides the contrast. We're either walking in light, we're walking with God, or we're walking in darkness and not with God. And you know, he says here very clearly, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but we don't do the things that He asks us to do, we lie and we walk in darkness. So we all want to say, I'm a Christian, but that is worthless. That means nothing if there's not a walk with it. If there's not a behavior and a life lived with it. It's just words. We must walk with Him. For to say I'm a Christian and not do the things that Christ commands in His Word makes us a liar. And it means that we're walking in darkness. But we are to walk in the light where He is, where the forgiveness of sin is. walking in darkness. You know, when he talks about that, it's to not practice the truth. Jesus is in the light. You know, walk in the light as he himself is in the light. Jesus is in the light. I want to be with him. I want to walk with him. And if I'm going to walk with him, that's where I've got to walk. And light is indicative and symbolic in the Bible of truth or knowledge. Well, chapter 2 and verse 6 of 1 John as well says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. How did Jesus walk? You know, I say I abide in Christ. I say I'm a Christian. I say I'm in his church. I'm in his body. So I abide in him. So if I'm going to say that, I need to walk like him. How did he walk? He walked with the Father. He walked with God in his life. Well, Enoch here walked with God. He obeyed God's command like Abel obeyed God's command. And by faith, he did these things. In other words, he did them according to that truth that God had given to him. Second, walking with God by faith made Enoch pleasing to God. You know, it says that he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Now, we see God in the Bible pleased at times, right? He's pleased with people. The Bible doesn't spend as much time with his pleasure with people as it does his displeasure. But that's probably something we need more of. But we see also God's displeasure. And, you know, we need to understand that there is no difference in the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. It is the same God. Now, he may not exercise the same things or do the same things that he did in the Old Testament, the direct actions that sometimes we see there, but he's still the same God, still feels the same way. And if he had not chosen by his own will not to exercise in his power in ways that he did in the Old Testament, he still would. You know, Leviticus chapter 26, wonderful chapter, because it's a chapter that's twofold. First part of the chapter is, hey, if you do what I say, I'm going to bless you. Then he turns around and says, but if you don't, I'm not. You know, he says in verse 3, if you walk, and he uses that term walk, walk in my statutes. That's the same thing as walking with God. Walk in my statutes. Keep my commandments so as to carry them out. You get blessings. Now, verse 12, part of those blessings, he says, I will also walk among you and be your God. So I'm walking with his commandments. He's walking with me. We're walking together. Verse 14, he then starts the second part. But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, God's displeasure, and I invite you to read it. We won't read it for sake of time tonight. But from verse 16 to verse 39, God says what he won't do, or what he will cause to happen to you that's not good if you choose to not obey his commandments. So, you know, it's really this choice. Pleasing God, walking with him, or displeasing him by not walking with him. That's the choice of life. Now, he's not going to do the things necessarily that we see in Leviticus 26 to us, like he did to the children of Israel. He did those things to them. You can check the rest of the Old Testament out and see that, because they didn't obey. But there is, if you obey me, I'll give you eternal life, and if you don't, I won't. And one is a result of pleasing God by walking with him, and one is a result of not. And so, you know, we should be about pleasing God. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus looks at the judgment scene, and he says, there are those that are going to say, Lord, Lord, but I'm not going to know who you are. And there's going to be one reason I don't know who you are, and that is because you did not do the will of my Father in heaven. You did not walk with God. Now we can go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, and we see that in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not his truth. That's the same language that he used in Leviticus chapter 26, that walking with God is obeying his commandments or obeying his truth, that he will take vengeance on those that know not God and obey not his truth. They didn't walk with God. Well, I don't want to be a part of that. I'll just pass on the flaming vengeance thing and you know, go to the glory thing. You know, but that's the choice we make. That's the choice of life. Well, third, we see that Enoch is a witness to us and to those he lived among that God was pleased, and God will reward those that he is pleased with. So God provided this witness in the fact that Enoch did not die. You know, somebody goes, well, Nathan, that's great, you know, but what about the people in Enoch's day? How did God let them know about his being a rewarder? He showed them, he witnessed for him in regards to the fact that Enoch didn't die. God says, I'm pleased with you. I'll do great things for you. And that was the witness of God for them in that day. You know, as we go forward, we talk about death, and we see in John chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus talking to Martha. You know, he's come. Lazarus has now been dead. He's been placed in the tomb. And Jesus comes and Martha runs out and meets him, right? Oh, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, maybe if you'd been here, Lord, maybe you could have stopped. No, there's no maybe. If you had been here, Lord, he would not have died, right? No ambiguity to that. No wondering about that. Martha believes it with all of her heart. Jesus says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asks her this question, do you believe this? See, we're not going to escape physical death unless the Lord returns before we die. You know, I love people that say, well, God can make it. You know, he can make exceptions, but the exception is never the rule, is it? It is appointed unto man once to die. Do not bank on being the next Elijah or Enoch. You know, just be prepared to die. But while I may die physically, there is a witness by Jesus Christ that I will not die spiritually if I walk with him. If I, as he says here, believe in me, he says, and you will never die. Just like Enoch, I will never die. There's a part of me that will go on. I will never be separated from God for eternity. Do you believe this? The escape from death is still the walking with God. But he asked her that. You know, verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, as we bounce back there, we're going to come back and look at what Martha says in just a second. But when we go to verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. This is the opposite of Enoch. He's saying, look at Enoch, look at the witness, look at God rewarding him because he walked with him. And then notice the but. It starts with a but, right? But you need to think about something that without that faith, without walking with God, by faith Enoch did that. He walked with God. Without that, you will not be saved. A lot of people try to find other ways, and there is no other way. Without faith, and faith means following God's word, without that, you're lost. But he says that you must believe that he is, God is. We must, certainly it has to begin with us acknowledging that there's a God, right? In fact, that is what Romans chapter 1 says begins the path to decadence. That there came a point where man chose not to retain God in their minds. And what do we see? Well, just read all the sins listed in Romans chapter 1. And you'll see what happens when man first does that. So we're going to have to acknowledge that he is. But then we look at Enoch. We look at the witness of Enoch, right? We look at what Jesus Christ says. And not only is he just there. You know, if God was just there, there wouldn't be much hope, would there? Just being there. That would be like some people believe that God just kind of started the universe. Now he's just kind of sitting back and watching. No, he's much more than just watching. He is a rewarder. Just as he rewarded Enoch, he will reward you and me if we walk with him. That he is a rewarder of those that seek him, walk with him. You know, we go back to John chapter 11, verse 27. You know, Jesus asked Martha, do you believe this? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? I love Martha. I love Martha and Mary because you know what? Those two women seem to get it. I almost get this feeling sometimes that Jesus wanted to go to Bethany to hang out with them because they got it. and the 12 men that followed him around day in and day out never seemed to get it. You know? I mean, you look at them and they never seem to understand what Jesus is trying to get them to understand. And he comes to Martha here and she's got it. Lord, I know it's going to be in the resurrection day. But listen to what she says in response to him when he says, "Do you believe this?" She says, "Yes. Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Yes, I believe you're the resurrection and the life. Yes, I believe that I'll never die. Yes, I believe that you're God. I believe you've come into this world." She had it. She got it. She believed that Jesus was, and she believed that he would do exactly what he said in the verse before, right? "If you believe on me, you will never die." That he's a rewarder of those that seek him. Tonight, if you want to have the reward of God, if you want to know what it is to make that right choice to walk with him and to be rewarded, to, as Jesus Christ said, to never die, to never be separated again from your Father in heaven. See, death is just separation. Sometimes we get that word kind of mixed up, but it's not ceasing to exist. It's separation. When you die physically, you're separated from this physical world. When you die spiritually, you're separated from God. When Jesus says you will never die again, he's not saying you're not going to die physically, but you will never die spiritually. And having not died spiritually, physical death is not really that bad of a thing. Where we finally get the reward of God. But we must walk with him. This evening you can begin your walk by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you'd make the decision to do that. Believing in Jesus Christ, to repent of the sins that you have committed, determining never to do those things again, confessing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that can reward if you walk with him in the light, and then be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away, that you might rise to walk a new life, a walk with him. If you're a child of God, maybe you haven't been living as you should. Maybe you haven't been walking in that light. Remember what's there in the light. For if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sins. That's where the forgiveness is. Man, I want to be there. Because I can tell you one thing, Nathan needs to be there. Come back. Walk in the light. Walk with God. Have your sins forgiven. And be what God would have you to be, that he might reward you in the end. If we can assist you in that tonight, we hope and pray that you will let us, as together we stand, as we sing.